Family Recipes by Galatea Galvanized, read by Marianas. The pile of dishes in the sink is half as tall as it once was, but it still comes up to Waxer's elbows as he reaches into the soapy water. He glares at the teetering pile, wondering if the dirty dishes have somehow managed to reproduce, and Boyle laughs. "You spent almost 100 credits on that fancy dishwasher in the diner downstairs," Boyle reminds him while drying one of their pans. "But you didn't want to use the diner, so no complaining." Waxer smiles and shakes his head, turning back to the task of eroding the mountain of dishes before him. He doesn't know why, really, he'd been so insistent on hosting in their apartment instead. He doesn't know why he'd wanted to use their dishware and their dining room, especially when they'd invited enough people to need the couch and the coffee table as well. He just had. And he could have used paper plates instead of their cheap porcelain ones, especially considering they don't have any fine china, but... "I didn't want it to feel like we were all just eating in the Vigilance's mess hall again," he says, realizing it in the same moment he says it. "I wanted it to feel like a family dinner." He hands another rinsed plate to his partner, and Boyle runs a dish towel around the rim with practiced ease. "It did," Boyle said with certainty. Something in Waxer's heart settles to hear it. He hadn't been nervous about the party, per se, but a number of their guests had traveled from across the galaxy to celebrate with them. Hell, Cody and Obi-Wan had come all the way from the reconstruction efforts on Divisian. There were other reasons for them to come, plenty of other 212th boys settling in on Yaim. But Waxer knows that, really, they'd come because he'd asked. He just wanted to make sure their trip was worth it. Everyone's time is more valuable these days because they get to choose what they want to do with it. Plus, the dishwasher downstairs can clean 20 racks of dishes in a 90-second cycle. As sentimental as it is, Waxer had wanted more than 90 seconds laughing in the kitchen with Boyle. He had wanted to enjoy the peace and calm with his partner, as much of it as he could get, before the diner opens tomorrow and chaos reigns. Washing a few dishes is a small price to pay for that. "It still surprises me you wanted to cook for them all," Boyle teases. "As if you hadn't had enough cooking prep work to do this week." Waxer laughs, scrubbing at a particularly stubborn bit of tomato tatin on the edge of a plate. "I can always use more practice. Plus, Dex said most chefs don't get to enjoy their own food. They eat in bites and taste tests as it goes through the kitchen or over a trash can at the end of shift." Not for the first time when Waxer's spoken about restaurant ownership, Boyle looks at him with a mix of disbelief and concern. "I thought Dex was giving you advice, not horror stories." "A bit of both," Waxer laughs. "Honestly, running a restaurant is more about logistics than cooking." "You sure that's from Dex? That sounds like something Cody would say," Boyle says. And they both instinctually glance over their shoulders, filled with the sudden certainty that their former commander is behind them. As busy as he was running a quarter of the Galactic Army, Cody had somehow always managed to appear whenever his name was mentioned in ship gossip. "All right, how?" Waxer prompts when the coast is confirmed to be clear. Boyle lowers his eyebrows and adopts a stern, serious expression as he deepens his voice. "Amateurs focus on the food, General Skywalker. Professionals focus on logistics." Waxer snorts so hard he almost drops the plate in his hands. He fumbles for it, pinching it between fingers that are pruny from being in the water for so long, and he's pleased to note that they're down to a quarter of the original stack. Swiping the sponge over the smooth porcelain reminds him of nights spent next to Boyle cleaning their armor together, patching scrapes and checking durability, but with much lower stakes. Unlike missing a stress fracture in a chest plate, a bit of missed food on these plates won't get anyone killed. In the same way, if Waxer messes up some supply chain logistics, the diner will just have to cut the menu instead of having to cut shipwide rations. That, and Waxer can go home at the end of the day and know that Boyle will be here, whole and healthy and waiting. "It's funny," Waxer says. "Lots of people think we'll be no good at anything other than fighting, but I think I'm better prepared than most new restaurant owners. I'm used to being on my feet for 10 hours a day, and I won't even be doing it while wearing 80 pounds of plastoid. Or under live fire." "Well," Boyle laments, "much live fire. You are working a customer service job, after all." Waxer huffs a little laugh, shaking his head. As much as he's prepared for the worst, he's pretty sure they won't actually be that busy tomorrow. Yaim is still a small town with well-known neighbors, and Waxer gets the feeling he'll simply be making endless batches of the banana pancakes Boyle has not stopped bragging about this past month. He's pleasantly tipsy on sweet wine, good cheer, and high hopes, and he's not worried. They fall back into a contemplative rhythm of washing and drying, working together in this as easily as they ever had in foxholes, and it makes Waxer hope that more of the Vore give civilian life a try. Yaim as a cooperative has a large clone population, but other civilians are starting to move in as well, lured by the low interest on small business loans and the high growth rate. The more exposure clones have to civvy life, and the more exposure civilians have to clones, the easier the transition will be for those who want it. Waxer glances at his partner, then back down, lingering over a plate that's already spotless. So, you thought any more about what you want to do? Oh, sure. Out of the corner of his eye, Waxer sees Boyle smirk at him. I think I'll be a food critic. I'll eat all your cooking just to tell you it needs more rosemary or some shit. Hey! Boyle throws his hands up as Waxer sends a wave of dirty dishwater his way, and then he snaps his dish towel at Waxer's ass in retaliation. Waxer dances backwards, wet plate held up like a shield, and laughing, wheezing, helpless to stop. Waxer lets it drop when they come back together to finish the work, though. The Republic has already passed a bill providing a one-year stipend for veterans of the Clone Wars as a compromise for the back pay that Fox and Senator Chuchi are still fighting for. Plus, it's only been a few months since Count Dooku signed the peace treaty with the Republic following the discovery of Palpatine's treachery. There'll be plenty of time and space for Boyle to figure himself out, and in the meantime, there are always more jobs that need doing on Yaim. Up to his elbows in dishwater, fishing around for any silverware he missed, Waxer can't help but marvel at how everything in Yaim has been repurposed. Most of the equipment for the town has been scavenged from the newly unnecessary Venator-class starships. The Republic has disassembled them into their component parts by cutting along seam lines. Officer quarters have been turned into affordable apartments, and barracks have been cleared of the beds stacked five high and turned into open-floor offices. Even Waxer's kitchen has all the same bones of a Star Cruiser's galley. They've salvaged all the ingredients for a town from the carcasses of their war machines. The human pieces, too, have been cut free from the aftermath. "Take your time," Waxer says confidently. "There's plenty for us here." The corner of Boyle's mouth quirks up and his industrious hands slow. His eyes unfocus a little as they look at something Waxer can't see. Waxer raises an eyebrow, content to wait. He knows what it looks like when Boyle is hesitating. "Yeah," Boyle says. "Yeah, but more than I'd ever hoped for. But, do you think there might be room for more, too?" With the dishes done, the pots and pans have enough time to soak in once warm, soapy water. Waxer grabs for one, starting in on the caramelized tomato paste that had bubbled over the side. "Sure, of course. There are plenty of empty apartments, even in this complex. The town's growing in size every day, and..." He stops when he sees Boyle looking at him with a ruefully amused smile. "Wasn't talking about the town, Wax." A raw sort of honesty, the kind of honesty only ever born from hope, glints in Boyle's eyes. It keeps shining out of his face even when he grabs a dry towel and turns back to the wet dishes. "Maybe not right now, considering the diner's just opening," Boyle hedges. "But now that we've got a place to live, I thought maybe we could look into adopting a kid. I know it was a while ago, but after Numa, well... You'd mentioned wanting to start a family." Waxer drops the pan he's holding into the sink. It clatters against the Durasteel with a crack loud enough to make them both jump, and water splashes over the beveled edges and onto the counter. "Oh, sorry, I just..." "No, don't worry about it, I didn't..." They both reach down to rescue the pan in the sink, but Waxer changes course midway through. He catches Boyle's hands in his own instead, and his fingers leave bracelets of soap suds around Boyle's wrists. When Boyle looks up with wide eyes, Waxer can tell that he's already starting to close himself off. "Yes," Waxer says, as clearly as he can. "Yes, I'd love that." He brushes his wrinkled, damp thumbs over the tender skin below Boyle's palms, over the pulse beating there strong and true. He adds, so that there can be no confusion or doubt, "I want to build a family with you." Relief breaks like a tidal wave across Boyle's face. He smiles back, and reams of crow's feet gather at the corners of his eyes. Okay, Boyle says, soft in the space between them. Waxer's heart beats a marching tune in his chest, racing not in fear but in anticipation. He and Boyle hold each other's eyes for seconds that slide into minutes, and those minutes feel warm and liquid enough to slip into hours and days instead. Okay, Waxer echoes, after who knows how long. And then he can't help but grin, wild and overjoyed, with his chest feeling too small for the love bubbling up and out of his heart. He pulls on Boyle's wrists, smudging through the soap suds until Boyle stumbles into him. His arms go around Boyle's shoulders as they have 100,000 times before, and Boyle's hands fit at his waist with the weight and certainty of a laddie touching down. They meet in the middle with all the comfort and ease of long practice, and with a whisper of sound and a soft groan of delight that Waxer feels more than hears. Kissing Boyle has always felt like coming home, and that's even more true now that Waxer has a home to come back to. He doesn't care that his wet hands are leaving gray prints on Boyle's thin cotton shirt, and he doesn't care that Boyle's probably smudging tomato stains into Waxer's hem as Boyle pulls it free from Waxer's jeans. He doesn't care about anything other than this moment of celebration, this slow and easy revelation, because stars, what more is there to want here and now? Waxer basks in the warm, solid press of Boyle's mouth and body against his, until Boyle draws back a single, careful inch. He's never been easily distracted, even by Waxer. It's what made him such a good scout. You sure? Boyle asks. His usual bravado is a wide container for his worries. He hoards them, sits on them, and keeps them close to his chest. Usually Waxer can spot them before that container overflows, but he's been so busy these past few weeks with scheduling deliveries, writing and rewriting his financial projections, and coordinating employee training with Wooly and Scrapper. He missed this storm of uncertainty brewing. He kisses Boyle deeper and harder for it, backing his partner up against the counter as if the force of his kiss could overwrite the worry with love and conviction. Yes, Waxer says, and it's a yes to everything. Boyle is the one to pull him close then, shifting his hands from Waxer's waist to press against the wings of his shoulder blades, and Waxer goes. The kitchen fades away as Boyle slides his hands underneath Waxer's shirt, fingertips like brands on Waxer's skin. Stars above and stars below, it feels an awful lot like they're getting away with something. Getting away with being this happy. Getting to have all of this and still be able to plan for more. This time, when Boyle pulls back, he slots one leg between Waxer's in the same second and presses his thigh up and in. Waxer swallows a groan, overwhelmed, and leans back in for another kiss. But Boyle tilts his head at the last second, and Waxer's mouth skims his cheek instead. "Hey now," Boyle says, hot and heavy in Waxer's ear. His voice is a liquid thing, like gasoline dripping into the fire starting to burn in Waxer's gut. "You only gave me one rule when we moved here." He rocks his thigh up again, then slides it up and back. Waxer shudders a little from the pressure, and he has to pull his mind out from the gutter to hear Boyle repeat Waxer's own decree. No sex in the kitchen. Waxer has never regretted that one rule more. When he pulls back to say as much, Boyle's soft smile has transformed into his usual smirk. Boyle pushes away from the counter, and Waxer lets his arms fall as Boyle turns to the stairs. "Not too tired to keep the celebrations going, then, Wax?" he says over his shoulder. Waxer glances at the few pans still soaking, and decides the grease could only benefit from soaking overnight, too. He catches up to Boyle on the stair landing, grabbing onto his partner's waist and spinning him a quarter turn before kissing him again and again. "Stairs are technically not part of the kitchen," he proclaims, and he leans in to taste the laughter on Boyle's lips. "Neither of us are young enough to make this work on the stairs," Boyle mock whispers back. Waxer wants to argue that they're plenty young still, but they've both had enough furtive encounters on hard surfaces and in cramped closets. There's a bed waiting for them half a flight of stairs away, and it calls a siren song. Their hands link as they move down the upstairs hallway. Their feet are quiet on the carpeted floor, which is as soft and springy as Durasteel isn't, and as they pass the guest bedroom, Waxer almost has to stop. That'll be a nursery soon, he thinks. Or a playroom, or a teenager's room. Or, well, anything but a room for a guest. Fathers may not have fought in the war. No, the armies were limited to droids and brothers, but that doesn't mean there weren't civilian casualties. The war ran rampant across the galaxy, and there are still plenty of children who need a safe place to grow. So he thinks about one kid, and then two. And then he has to turn to Boyle and kiss him again, overwhelmed with love for the man who wants to start this journey with him. Once they make it through the door of their bedroom, Waxer uses their linked hands to turn Boyle towards him. There's no hurry. Stars knows there's no hurry, but hurried sex is a hard habit to break. They're too accustomed to having to find intimacy in the few minutes between shift changes or the rare day of shore leave, and even on shore leave, they still have to be prepared for their communicators to buzz with news of a separatist attack. Waxer thinks they may have had more sex with their armor on than their armor off at this point. They're working on fixing that, yeah, but he's still pushing Boyle backwards faster than he should en route to their bed. Boyle trips, going back, mouth a perfect O of surprise, and he lands on the mattress with a punch of air from his lungs. A mistake like that during the war could have cost him a limb, Waxer thinks, still caught in all his comparisons. But here and now, it just cost him the upper hand. Waxer puts one knee in the open V of Boyle's legs, laughing and still tipsy on wine and joy. Boyle reaches up for him, moves to sit, but Waxer catches Boyle's hand out of the air, just as he had in the kitchen. He presses it over Boyle's head as he leans over his partner, teasing, because Boyle is a master of turning a misstep into an advantage, and he doesn't want to give Boyle the chance. Waxer has a dozen quips lined up. Who's dishing out punishment now, and got too much on your plate? But he freezes when he feels Boyle's breath catch and his eyes go wide. Boyle? Waxer asks, releasing his grip and moving as slowly as he can to sit back. No, wait, it's fine, Boyle says, and a blush dusts the top of his ears and his cheeks. He clearly wants to keep whatever this is in his chest, too, buried beneath the bravado, but Waxer is paying attention now. They'd all had to fit a certain mold to match the armor in the army, but the mold's been broken. Waxer can wait to see how it broke. Determination sparks like a hammer strike in Boyle's eyes, and Waxer can almost see the courage that he's carving out. It's courage for choosing honesty, choosing vulnerability. And that can be the hardest courage to find, Waxer thinks. After a minute, Boyle grabs Waxer's hand again and laces their fingers together, before pulling it over his head and pulling Waxer over his body. I liked it, he says, and Waxer is drowning. Stars, stars, stars. His own breath catches in his throat as he leans back over Boyle, and he swallows hard. This last and third gift on a night full of unasked-for blessings is almost enough to make Waxer stop believing in luck and start believing in a higher power. He's a little too tired and a little too tipsy to try anything creative right now, let alone athletic, and they've got to talk about this first. But... okay. Okay, hon. We'll get back to this, Waxer promises. Yeah, okay, Boyle agrees, grinning. We've got all the time in the galaxy now. And four walls and doors that lock, Waxer adds, and they laugh as the tension between them settles into something more comfortable. Waxer's grateful all over again that they're long past the stage of new things being awkward and bad. And he said they'd revisit this, but Waxer stays where he is for a few more seconds, to block Boyle off from the rest of the world. Keeping Boyle's left hand trapped beneath his own, Waxer pulls his other knee onto the bed so he can lean down for a kiss. He lowers his body into the heat he can feel radiating up, and he feels Boyle getting hard beneath the press of Waxer's upper thigh. Wax, Boyle says on an exhale, tilting his head back so Waxer can suck kisses into the tender skin beneath his jaw. Waxer keeps their hands tangled, even as he props himself up on his other elbow so he can move down Boyle's neck until he reaches Boyle's collar, lingering on the jut of bone. He sits up, unwilling to untangle their hands, but knowing their shirts have to come off somehow. Beneath him, Boyle's shirt is still damp with dishwater, gray where it should be white, and Waxer feels Boyle's free hand slide beneath the hem of Waxer's shirt again, running smooth circles over the bare skin. "Can't have it both ways, babe," Boyle teases, and Waxer releases him with a sigh and sits up. They both strip with more speed than teasing. Normally, they try to stop somewhere between checking their shirts and pants, to press together again, to take their time now that they have time to take. And originally, Waxer had wanted slow and easy. But that was before Boyle asked him about starting a family together. Before Boyle had looked up, eyes clear, and trusted Waxer with the truth. So Waxer and Boyle strip to their boxer briefs as quickly as they can, pausing for stolen kisses between socks and pant legs, and they come back together almost exactly as they were before. With his knees boxing in Boyle's hips, seated on the tops of Boyle's thighs, Waxer looks down at his kingdom and smiles. "What do you want?" he asks, using his legs to lift himself a bare inch over Boyle's body and then back down, in a bare facsimile of a rhythm. He knows it's late, that they've both eaten too much food and drank too much wine for anything that needs prep time, but he wants to know. He wants to ask. Boyle licks his lips and sucks his lower lip between his teeth, and Karkadol Waxer doesn't think he's even doing it on purpose. The sodium orange glow of the street lamp outside their window drapes itself over the sharp planes of Boyle's face so that he's wearing 212th gold all over again. The soft light fuzzes the edges of everything in the room, and it seems to color time itself into something liquid and warm. Boyle's hands flex on Waxer's hips. It just makes Waxer want to grab them again. "You tell me," Boyle says with a hint of a challenge, and, oh, Waxer can answer that. He walks forward on his knees until he can sit back and press his ass into the hard length of Boyle beneath him. He rocks against it for a few long seconds, reveling in the way Boyle's breath goes uneven, marveling at the effect he has. When Boyle's good and warmed up beneath him, Waxer shifts from one knee to the other as he peels his boxer briefs off. Boyle's eyes drop with gratifying speed to the jut of Waxer's cock, red and heavy with it, and Waxer catches Boyle's wrists when he reaches blindly upwards. "Not yet," he says, and the orange light moves across Boyle's throat as he swallows. Waxer leans past the edge of the bed to grab their lube and unscrews the cap with more flair than he usually bothers with before setting it on the bed next to them. Boyle's hand fit back at the curve of Waxer's hip bones, trembling so slightly that no one else would notice. Those hands rise with Waxer's hips when Waxer lifts up a second time, giving himself just enough room to hook two fingers into the waistband of Boyle's boxers and drag them down. Boyle's cock springs free, hard and already shiny at the tip. And criff, Waxer's mouth is watering. He wants to drop to his elbows and swallow his partner down, but he has a plan. He slides back up the bed and dips his fingers into the jar of lube, feeling the smooth, waxy surface start to melt from his body heat, and his fingers are dripping when he draws them away and reaches backwards. Boyle looks up at him with heavy-lidded eyes, and his fingers press crescents into Waxer's hips again. "Do you want?" he asks, voice rough with surprise and desire. It's enough to make Waxer laugh. "Ambitious," he teases, and Boyle flushes harder. "No, hon, but let me just..." He reaches backwards to stroke the lube up Boyle's full length without looking, and with his eyes locked on Boyle's, he tucks Boyle's dick into the cleft of his ass and starts to move. It takes time to find a rhythm that works and a little longer to figure out how to keep it going. Boyle's hands shift from Waxer's hips to squeeze Waxer's ass cheeks together around his dick, and it's better than Waxer had even thought it would be. He thought he could give them both what they wanted. Waxer on top, his hands pressed to Boyle's chest to keep him down, and controlling the rhythm with his shaking thighs alone, but it's more than that. He bites back a groan of his own as Boyle's dick slides against his body, as it catches against his perineum and skates past his rim, and Boyle's hands squeeze irregular patterns into the muscle of his ass. Beneath him, Boyle is almost incomprehensible as he bites back every second word, and that's good, too, just watching his partner fall apart. "Wax," Boyle groans, and Waxer thinks they might as well enjoy being loud while they still have the apartment to themselves. He lifts one hand from Boyle's shoulder to take himself in hand, and Boyle's hips twitch upwards on Waxer's next down thrust. "Wax, please," Boyle manages through gritted teeth. Some night, in the not-too-far future, Waxer might test how many different ways he can make Boyle say please. But not this tonight. He's pretty sure he can't make Boyle come like this, not without more time or pressure, so he lifts himself up and sits back behind Boyle's dick. He moves fast enough that his rhythm barely even stutters before he manages to line them both up to take them in hand. Boyle collapses back against the bed, hips twitching futilely beneath Waxer's full weight, and Waxer grins. He speeds up his strokes, taking advantage of the familiar angle to go as fast as he knows Boyle likes. "Come on, hon," he says while he's still got the oxygen for it. The hot brand of Boyle's cock pressed against his, the wet slide of his lubed hand over them both, and Boyle's overcome expression are all adding to the burn of desire trickling down his spine. "You feel so good, stars. So good for me, Boyle." And it's one stroke, two, three, before Boyle's whole body seizes up beneath him, taut like a transparent steel sheet, and he comes. Waxer strokes Boyle through the orgasm, slower now, and he pulls his wet hand away only when he can see Boyle start to twitch with oversensitivity instead of aftershocks. It always takes a few seconds for Boyle to come back to himself. His chest heaves, air whistles through his throat. Waxer shifts his weight, almost painfully hard at the sight of his partner laid out beneath him, and he's about to move to the side when Boyle reaches up to grab Waxer's hands in each of his. Boyle laces their fingers together into matching sets, swallowing and fighting to get his breathing under control. "Wait," he rasps, and he draws one set of hands back over his head, forcing Waxer to lean over him once more. The other set he curls around Waxer's cock. "All right," Boyle says, his voice still breathy. He squeezes their joined fingers and gives Waxer a few slow pulls. "All right, babe, show me what you got." Waxer has to swallow a whine and a curse. He's long since lost track of who has the upper hand. He keeps their hands above Boyle's head intertwined as he drops to his elbow and knocks their foreheads together. They don't kiss. They're too far gone for that, panting and open-mouthed and breathing each other's air. But Boyle leans up to bite at Waxer's lips and lick into his mouth before he falls back to the mattress and refocuses on stripping Waxer's cock. Waxer screws his eyes shut as the pressure builds low in his gut, pulled to the base of his spine. Sparks fly against the black night of his eyelids, and the hands around his cock increase in speed. "Fuck," he says when he has a single mouthful of spare air. "Boyle, I'm Boyle." "Yeah, baby, yeah, I've got you," Boyle says, and yeah, they've got each other. They'll always have each other. Waxer comes with a single sharp cry that gets cut off in his throat, and he paints Boyle's heaving chest with uneven white stripes while Boyle works him through it. "And stars, that's lovely too," Waxer thinks, staring at the marks with orgasm dumbness as he tightens his grip on both of Boyle's hands when Boyle moves to wipe it off. Boyle's chest jerks between Waxer's knees at the movement, and they'll definitely have to revisit this. With a grin, Boyle lies back down instead, stroking the sides of Waxer's palms with his thumbs. "Hey," he says softly as Waxer comes down. "Hey, babe." Waxer's arms are shaking. He thinks his whole body might be shaking. He settles his full weight on top of Boyle, uncaring of the cum drying between them. The room's atmosphere feels like the air after a thunderstorm, thick with ozone and damp, happy earth, full of potential. They trade kisses, slow and unhurried, until Boyle sits up enough to check the chrono on the wall. "All right, babe, you've got a 5 a.m. wake-up for the diner," he says mildly. "It's 11. Waxer groans and tries to bury his head in Boyle's chest, and he gives himself another 2 minutes of afterglow before pulling himself away. He goes to wet a wash rag with no other complaints, and he cleans them both up with quick and efficient strokes before turning down the sheets. They curl together, close in the soft darkness, both still unused to the quiet, but very used to each other. With the seconds ticking towards 5 a.m., Waxer knows he needs to sleep, but feels the way he always did right before the hyperdrive activated. There's a humming he feels in the back of his teeth that tells him they're about to be hurled somewhere new and wonderful and unknown. He tosses and turns a few times, rolling closer to Boyle and then further away, restless. After a few minutes of this, Boyle sits up, his eyes shadowed and glinting in the dim light. Wax, come on, you nervous? Waxer rolls onto his back and looks at the dimpled ceiling above, thinking, it's a good question. About the diner or about a family? Either, Boyle says, and Waxer knows he's not the only one who might be nervous. Both. Honesty is definitely the best policy here, but Waxer's not entirely sure what the honest answer is. But at least in this space after the war, there's time to think it over. After a few heartbeats, listening to Boyle breathe patiently beside him, Waxer nods. A little, he admits. Mostly for the family, but that's okay. He turns onto his side so he and Boyle are curled like matching parentheses on the bed, and he reaches out for Boyle's hand. When he weaves his fingers through Boyle's, he takes a deep breath and continues. I've got a list of recipes for the diner, but there isn't a five-star recipe for how to make a family, Waxer says. But look, we've got each other, and a home, and a lot of love. We might have to make it up as we go, but I think, no, I know that we've already got everything we need to make a good one. Boyle smiles back, soft and fond. Waxer strokes the edge of his palm so we can watch the way Boyle's eyes close in contentment. Yeah, Boyle says at last. We'll just have to write a family recipe of our very own. The end.